In just a few moments, I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Luke will come to continue in our essential series. But before this happens, I want to continue to talk to our community about Living Waters Church and refugee sponsorship. I was so excited last Sunday to share with our congregation an opportunity that's been afforded to us as it relates to refugee sponsorship. Once again, that announcement has generated some tremendous amount of excitement and curiosity. So we wanted to update our community again this week in terms of where are we at and where are we headed. So what do we know? We do know that the couple that we're sponsoring is presently living in Jordan, and they are doing the final things that are necessary to receive their final approval to come to Canada, which would give them their travel dates. So while we do, as a community, know exactly when they're arriving, we do have to get ready for them when they do come. How do we do that? There's two ways. One is about finances, and the second one is about relationship, financially. Our commitment to sponsoring this couple involves the collection of $24,000 that will be used upon their arrival to help them settle in Canada for expenses such as housing and living expenses, $24,000. So we are presently in a place where we need to collect that money. And we're asking Living Waters, we're asking you to consider being generous towards this couple, towards this wonderful opportunity, and to once again allow Living Waters to be a people of welcome. So we're asking you to join us and partner with us to collect this $24,000. You can head over to our website, to our giving page, and you can see the information there, Global Work, and at the bottom, write note, refugee sponsorship, and we'll together we'll collect the money that will be necessary for their sponsorship. So finance. The second thing is relationship. We presently have a refugee sponsorship team that's led by Angela Belcham and Megan Lacoste and a few others. And they're hosting an information evening on Monday, May the 3rd at 7 o'clock via Zoom. And we want to tell you a little more about this couple and some of the practical things that are necessary to get ready for their arrival. And we can do this. We did this 3 years ago and are really excited to be able to step up financially and relationally to imagine the arrival of this wonderful couple and help them settle in Canada. So we did this 3 years ago, and we're excited to be able to do this again. If you have any questions about any of that, please reach out to us, and we'll try to answer your questions. Good days ahead as we work together. Today, in our scripture reading, we're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 18, and it reads this way. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free, but we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, hey, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Verse 18, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it.
Hi, everybody. Good to be with you. My name is Luke. If we've never met before, I'm on our pastoral team, and I'll be sharing the sermon with you today. If you have the Bible with you, you can open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we just heard Dave read for us. This is our second talk on body in our essential series. And last week, we heard from Rick, and he took us through this tour of the scriptures in relation to the body. So what did we hear? Well, we heard that humans are God's reflection or embodiments of God's presence and character within creation. That every human is made in God's image, and so what we do to the image, we do to God. We heard that Christians are given to represent God to the communities in which they find themselves. So how we think about and what we do with our bodies really matters, and other people's bodies for that matter. Jesus' incarnation and resurrection, of course, is essential and central for all of this. And today, we're going to kind of take one step further in thinking about the essential nature of the body as expressed in community. I want to begin by reading a poem. And don't be worried, it's only short. R.S. Thomas was a priest in rural Wales and was the Nobel Prize nominee in 1966 for literature. So he's actually become one of my favorite poets in recent years. And this is his poem called Nuclear. It's not that he can't speak. Who created languages but God? Nor that he won't. To say that is to imply malice. It is just that he doesn't, or does so at times when we are not listening, in ways we have yet to recognize as speech. We call him the dumb God with an effrontery beyond pardon. Whose silence so eloquent as his? What word so explosive as that one Palestinian word with the endlessness of its fallout? Can God be heard? Can God be felt or known? Why can't I find him? What Thomas does in much of his poetry is to face this sense of God's absence or distance, and to help us to be honest about what that feels like through simple yet provocative language. But Thomas also has this way of hinting at the truth beyond that sense of absence or silence. He owns the difficulty while at the same time making just enough room for the possibility of God to come through, as seen in the poem that we just read. Is God silent, absent, or withholding? Or is it that we're still learning to recognize the ways, to recognize the languages, as Thomas puts it, that God is actually speaking and acting in? And what does Thomas mean by that one Palestinian word with the endlessness of its fallout? Well, as a pastor, Thomas spent his life steeped in Scripture, so I think he means Jesus. The Word of God, as we hear in John's Gospel, the body language of God. So I'd wager that Thomas is gesturing towards the endless difference that Jesus has made and is making. And I'd also suggest that the endlessness of the fallout of Jesus includes you and me. We are the result of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We are now the body language of God, the endlessness of Jesus' fallout. So maybe God isn't silent or absent or withholding, so long as we are present and generous with one another. With that in mind, with 1 Corinthians in mind and what we heard last week in mind, maybe it's clear now why Paul in the New Testament chooses a body as his great metaphor for the Christian family as a whole. Because God's life and activity is an embodied thing in Jesus, Paul has no problem imagining Christians as the expression of Jesus' body filled with his Spirit. And though we sometimes call it a metaphor, for Paul, this picture of the body is much more than a metaphor. Christians really are God's representation in their communities, as we heard last week. It's no use saying, well, look at Jesus, don't look at us. The point of our place within creation is that God can be seen through humanity. So, God is seen through Jesus, and now seen through the church that Jesus' body is fleshing out in everyday life. I heard someone say once that every interaction that we have with one another is a chance to put one another in touch with God. And so waking up to that reality every day is quite exciting. It holds for us endless potential for how God might be breaking through. So in the passage that we just heard, what Paul does is to draw out how God does that breaking through. Not in individual or isolated incidents, but in varied ways through a whole entity. When Paul talks about what it means to be the body of Jesus, he draws out two main truths. The first is about oneness, and the other is about difference. For Paul, being in the body of Jesus is to know that we are one and we are different, that we are unified, but we are also varied. And Paul is adamant that this is actually possible with Jesus, even if it seems impossible to us. These days, we might not know really what to do with that. It's easy to feel lost sometimes in these algorithms of various faceless collectives, isn't it? Like a number falling into a predetermined category, which can feel really quite dehumanizing. I had that experience actually recently with a telecommunications company, which will remain nameless. I was caught in this endless loop of inconsideration. I was a person lost in a process which reduced me to a monetary valuation. On the other side of things is our society's obsession, kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum, with individuality, which is becoming so relentlessly particular that many are wondering how we're ever going to find any shared ground or unity if all we ever do is define ourselves by our differences or our sense of autonomy. So I think Paul's vision of Jesus' body fleshed out in 1 Corinthians 12 is wonderfully good news for us today. He says that as a body, we are one in Christ and we are created with difference. Let's talk about oneness first. First thing to notice is the body that Paul is speaking of is definitively Jesus' body, meaning that Jesus owns and directs it. So being a Christian is not about being in a club or a social circle or even in a group that is just about extreme groupthink. The church is a community gathered around, defined by, and directed by Jesus. Rowan Williams puts it this way: church always begins with what God is doing. The church begins with a lot of people drawn into one room by the force of Jesus' personality and life and death and resurrection, and kind of looking at each other and thinking, what are we all doing here together? And then working it out. So being Christian springs only from Jesus. It sounds silly to say it, but we do need to say it. Being a Christian community means being owned and directed by Christ. Christ, Christian, it's in the title. And being Christian isn't something that I can do alone, just me and Jesus, because Jesus has this terrible habit of always inviting more people to the party. To be Christian is to be plural, never singular. So there is first this orientation around Jesus who gives purpose, shape, and direction to those who make up his body. And when Christians lose sight of Jesus and the unity shared through his character and purpose, that community ceases to be Christian. As Paul says, we really aren't unified by anything other than by Jesus and his Spirit in us. which is both wonderful because of the diversity then that is represented, but also messy and complex, and it can take some getting used to. That leads us to the other reality that Paul draws out. Let's talk about variation or difference, which is something that is not to be feared or ignored, but actually treasured and celebrated. There is room within Jesus' body to be uniquely the part that we are, each playing this irreplaceable role. And this is where this vision of Christian community really starts to resonate and feel beautiful to us, probably particularly in this day and age. Paul can say that within this body, that ethnicity, sex, economic status do not first define you, but relation to Jesus defines you and holds you together with others in this beautiful sense of equality. I had a professor that used to say that Jesus is the great equalizer. And when he said that, he was speaking about passages like this in the New Testament. Of course, we're still struggling to work this out. Equality is still a challenge, both outside of the church and within the church. Usually, we only prioritize equality based on sameness, but not so with Jesus. The only sameness that we need to emphasize is the sameness we share as image bearers and our sameness in relation to Jesus. This sense of difference, commingling in a community founded on equality, is what we're all about. And it was totally alien in the ancient world, as Rick shared last week. Much of what we've inherited today is because of the Christian vision of what human community can be on equal footing, oriented around its creator, as seen through the person of Jesus. Yet still we have this hard time seeing the possibility of Jesus' vision, don't we? We often think only in terms of mass conformity or individualism, which I mentioned earlier. Being in the body of Jesus, however, doesn't mean either of those things. When we join up with Jesus, we don't meld into some kind of faceless collective, losing all autonomy and personality. Quite the opposite. We are identified as persons, or as Paul describes as body parts, particular and unique. Unique within a community, bringing something particular to the table, to the body. And because of the equal orientation around Jesus, there are no parts that are better than the others. And when that becomes apparent in a community, we need to address it. So for those of us who are used to being on top or always given priority, learning to be in the body might be humbling. We're important, we have a place or a role, but never over against another person, never over against another part. On the other end of the spectrum, some of us like to see ourselves sometimes as outsiders, as misfits, as non-conformers, and can get comfortable with wearing labels like that, keeping the realities of community life maybe just a little bit at a distance. But that self-alienation, it isn't necessary in the body. We've been welcomed in by God, and as we heard earlier, can look around at the others that we see and trust that we really do belong and that others belong as well. So our expression of difference isn't lost, and there is room to be the person that God has made us, as there are with others. And that doesn't mean that we don't change, however, that there's no conforming into the likeness of Christ, as we hear elsewhere in the New Testament. We are Christian, and so we should expect conformity and change to Jesus, to the one who has made us, not necessarily to one another. And that's a key thing to understand in the life of what it means to be the church. We conform to Jesus and relate to Jesus. We don't necessarily conform to one another. We are different, yes, but our identity isn't rooted in difference. It's rooted in Jesus. And another picture from Jesus in John's gospel might be helpful for us here. In John 15, Jesus says to his disciples, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." And in that picture, we get that sense that the branches do not relate to one another outside of relation to the vine. We relate to one another because of and through Jesus, not isolated away from Jesus. And that makes many things possible. So when we think, then, about differences which are cultural or with personality or spiritual gifting, the body is about as diverse and as complex as the interesting ecosystems that we can see throughout creation. So the differences are something to be curious about. They're something to be explored and celebrated, not forgotten or pushed to the side. They're to be looked at, elevated, and appreciated. And that's one of the reasons why sharing our stories in this church is so important to us as a community. Next week, for example, is going to be Story Sunday, where a few people will share their story when they were baptized, and we're going to hear about what that was like for them on Easter Sunday and hear their unique story, their unique place in the body. And one of the great joys of Christian life is simply listening to this wide array of stories from one another, everyone coming together around Jesus and asking, "How did you get here? Let me tell you how I got here." So maybe that would also help us to think a little bit about our refugee efforts that we heard earlier from Dave. In helping this couple make it to Canada, already a part of the body, we'll have the chance of hearing their stories and then together as a community, appreciating the oneness and the difference that we share. The more the merrier. A few closing thoughts. If we have to say one thing to each other when we reflect on a passage like 1 Corinthians 12, maybe we need to say this. You belong. You belong with me because we belong with Jesus. You belong with me because Jesus has made you to belong. Of course, belonging with Jesus in the company of others takes time to trust and to grow into, to accept, and we're all learning to do this. So we have to keep finding ways of saying to one another, you belong in this body. You belong as this body that is interconnected and inseparable. And we need to get really comfortable, more comfortable than we are now maybe, with saying you belong as a specialized part of this body and find ways to express that specialization. So don't sell yourself short. And don't sell others short. Being a Christian means celebrating oneness and celebrating difference. And those things don't have to be mutually exclusive with Jesus. They can be held together in him. That's great news. That's a community filled with possibility and purpose. And that brings us back to where we began with R.S. Thomas and his words about Jesus and the endlessness of his fallout. Can God be heard? Can God be felt or spoken to? Well, can you be felt? Can you be spoken to? Can you listen or be listened to? What can you say or do or be that no one else can? What life or world can you permeate in the unique way that God has made you? And who is around you and what difference can be celebrated, the unique ways that they can be who they are made to be in the body? As a local church, we're at our best when we prioritize relentlessly oneness with Jesus and with one another and celebrate difference and express ourselves not as a kind of predetermined, pre-packaged franchise, but as a community that is curious about what is to be discovered through love and service right here, right now, in this particular place. It's then that we see God's endlessness pressed through the presence of his community. You and me alone, We aren't endless. We're full of all that much possibility by our own design, under our own steam. But in the community of Jesus, recognized and released in that body, we become endless in our possibility of putting others in touch with God. Bless you. Have a great rest of your day.